Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
I thank and praise God for this borewell that God has enabled us to put in this village with the prayer and support of Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Radio Ministry. And by the prayer and support of the Pastor Greg Young and the Chosen Generation Ministry, we could put the borewell in this village for the community. Before, this community was drinking dirty water, and that was really causing a lot of sickness. But now they are getting pure and fresh water, and all the community is so thankful for Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry and all the supporters. And we pray for all of you that God would bless you and God would use you so that we can put more and more borewells in a poor and a needy community, those who are really having a problem of the water. And this is this borewell we have put, and pure and fresh water is coming, and we are so thankful for all of you. Especially we thank to Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry that help us and support us to put the borewell. Thank you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com, coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And I'm so very excited. I've got a great, incredible program lined up for you today. Bottom of hour number three, Carmel Melamed, and I will probably get a corrected pronunciation of that, but he'll be talking about Christian persecution in Iran and what's happening over there. Also, up at the top of the hour, we'll be talking Marxism and our need for resilience. We have got to hold the line here in the United States of America for the sake of the rest of the world. We'll talk about that with Don Jans. Also coming up today, we'll be joined by Tressa, and she has an incredible story of faith and also some lessons she learned along the way. Tressa Minchner will be with us. And then Dr. Chris Wally joins me at the top of the next hour as we talk about Father's Day and the importance of fathers. But joining me right now, live from Nigeria, and I am so very excited to have him with me. He is a Nigerian journalist. He writes frequently for the Epoch Times, along with a number of other journalistic entities, and he is our eyes and ears on the ground in Nigeria, putting himself, quite frankly, at great risk to try to make the rest of the world aware of the Christian genocide that is happening in Nigeria. I welcome to the program Masara Kim. Masara, welcome. It's great to have you. Thanks for being here.
It's quite a pleasure. I mean, it feels really exciting coming here for the second time. I remember 2 years ago, we were here and discussing about the same topic. Well, the persecution never ends. At least for now, it has not ended. And I'm happy to be here to talk about the latest happenings as regards Christian persecution in Nigeria.
I think maybe that, you know, a lot of people, because there's a lot of disinformation that comes out. You wrote a great article. You had asked me to contribute to the article, which I'm honored to have done, and I appreciated the opportunity to share. But there's a lot of messaging from the leadership in Nigeria that is kind of like, well, things aren't that bad, and really this is just an argument between farmers and herdsmen, and it doesn't have anything to do with Islam or Christianity or any of the other issues surrounding that.
Well, the Nigerian government is actually embarrassed to have its own citizens being massacred right under his watch. It's embarrassed to know that it has brigade-sized military formations across the country in practically every district, yet terrorists are able to take out entire villages, if not entire districts and counties, and they are unable to do something about it. Sometimes, actually, they have the resources and they have the manpower to respond, because of that religious sentiment, because most of the terrorists, in fact, 100% of them carrying out these attacks and the genocide against Christians are members of the Islamic faith. So they kind of, because of their connection to that same faith, they are all members of the same faith. They find it difficult to respond to it and deal with people that belong to the same faith with them and possibly the same ethnicity with them. And they do not have any better explanation for it than to just come up with the false and really, really confusing, I would say, narrative of farmer herder clashes, which in the real sense of it does not ever exist.
So one of the things that just recently came out, Robert Spencer, my friend who has Jihad Watch, reported on this, 37 Christians were murdered by Islamists as a direct result of saying no to paying the jizya. Can you comment on how Islam is using things, tools like the jizya, to try to starve out Christians as well as an excuse to murder them?
Yeah, the particular incidents occurred in the northwestern state of Zamfara, where Christians are in the minority. And you have a range of Islamic terror groups carrying out attacks against Christians and nominal Muslims in that axis. But then again, that's just one example of this kind of Islamic control and a sort of imposed taxation, or the jizya, as you called it, that is happening across the northern region of Nigeria. Very close to Plateau State, where I reside, in the state of Kaduna, there have been the same impositions. Terrorists have imposed taxes and jizya on communities, more than five that I know. And unless they pay, they do not have the rights to even exist in those communities or even go out to cultivate their farmlands, which are their sole livelihoods. And then again, you go to places like Sokoto, you go to the states of Niger, you have practically the same thing. There is an estimated 21 terror groups operating in the north of Nigeria, in the northwest of Nigeria, aside from Boko Haram, Ansaru terrorists, and ISWAP, that's ISIS terrorists that are operating in the northeastern region. And across all of these states, in fact, the entire region, you have different forms of the jizya. You have in Plateau states, jizya is not yet common, but again, you have instances of communities being attacked and still forced to pay some sort of compensation to Fulani terrorists who claim that the attacks they've carried out were a retaliation against the hostilities. The disappearance maybe or prior attacks on their cattle herds, which usually does not ever happen. And as long as they do not pay those compensations, they would be subjected to repeated attacks. And that's what is happening. So for now in Plateau State, there is no defined jizya as such, but people are still paying it indirectly. In the states of Kaduna, in the states of Sokoto, Zamfara, Niger, Kebbi, Christians are increasingly paying jizya. And sometimes they are intimidated from talking about them. They can't speak about them, whether to the press or to the government, because once the terrorists find out, they will still attack them for ever exposing their activities. So this is just one example. The 37 kills is just one example out of hundreds, I would say, that are still ongoing across the northern region of Nigeria.
Massara, let me ask you this, because, you know, we here in America and perhaps in other parts of the world as well that are watching this program are not familiar with what that, they say, well, you're going to pay a tax. And as much as you don't want to have to pay the tax, but okay, well, you know, what is it like, 5% or whatever? It's some reasonable amount, but that's not the case. We're not talking about a reasonable amount. We're talking about an amount that essentially gobbles up any and all ability for these individuals to make a livable income off of their lands. Am I on target with that? Because that's what I understand part of this whole oppressive issue is.
Yeah, you're very correct. If you were to compare with government taxes, you would probably be asked to pay, 5% or 2% of your annual income as taxation or anything like that. But then in this particular case, you have terrorists imposing certain amounts. They decide how much should be paid, when and where it should be paid. I've heard of communities, I've investigated and even visited communities that were forced to pay as much as $100,000 in a month just to survive. And if you don't meet up with their targets, they give you a deadline and you don't meet those targets, those deadlines, you're in trouble. They will come overnight and ravage the entire community and kill everything that lives in it. And that is what is happening. So in some communities that are able to negotiate, they allow them to probably pay sometimes as low as $20,000, but I think that's the least that you would ever find.
Wow. And that's $20,000 in a month?
Yeah, sometimes they impose that in a month, and sometimes if a community is able to negotiate well, it might be allowed to pay that in 2 months or 3 months. As I speak with you right now, I am following a case of a similar case in the state of Niger, where No, in the state of Katsina, where terrorists ordered Christian, they ordered churches and Christians to evacuate, to leave a particular area unless they agree to pay a certain amount. They were asked to pay about 10 million Nigerian naira. That would be around the $20,000.
We're want to do this. We're going to take a quick break, and I hope that you can stay with me for a little bit. I have the whole hour open, so however long you can stay, we'll stay on this, because this is, it's important for people to understand what's really going on over there. Compare, just as an example, so it's 10 million naira, $20,000. What kind of income are these people used to bringing out of their community? What comparatively speaking, what does that look like? Would they normally only be able to produce, I don't know, 40,000, 60,000? I mean, what's the comparative as to what that 20,000 represents?
Well, I would say that's like a total income, you know, a total income of an entire community for us, probably 5 to 10 years, because these are communities that are chiefly comprised of peasant farmers.
I was wondering. So this is essentially saying, look, everything you're going to make, you're going to give to us 100%.
Even more than that, because they are forced sometimes to even go into debts, you know, to go and borrow, sometimes sell their properties and all of that, just to be able to meet these demands.
And that's so that they can spare their lives,
temporarily, not forever, just temporarily.
And they still have to figure out some way to be able to eat. Exactly. So that they actually will live. So essentially they're stealing all of their resources and starving them out, or threatening to just simply kill them.
It's another form of jihad in itself.
Right.
We all know that hunger and starvation, you know, has in history, throughout history, been used as a weapon of war. And I think that that's the same thing they are doing in some of these communities. In other communities where they are unable to impose such, you know, taxes or the jizya, perhaps because the state governments are Christian, the state governors are Christian, what they do is they go to the communities, visit the farm, go to the farmlands and mow them down. You know, they despoil, you know, large acres of farmlands and just leave the communities completely impoverished.
Wow. Okay. All right. We're going to take a quick break.
Okay. And I speak with you right now. I am with a pastor whose members have suffered, you know, the same attacks just within the last 24 hours. And we are going there in the next 30 minutes. I am going there in the next 30 minutes or 1 hour with him.
Okay. Well, and he's with you right now?
He is with me right now.
All right. When we get back, maybe I can get both of you on camera. Let's take a quick break.
Right.
We'll be back right after this brief break. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio and watching us on TECNTV.com, Clout Hub, Getter, Facebook, and at the website, ChosenGenerationRadio.com. Back right after this brief break.
So up next, we have Clan Slate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And Clean Slate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring, that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Neither products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
Awesome.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg, and my very special guest is Nigerian journalist Masara Kim. And in just a minute, we're going to introduce, he has a pastor with him, and members of their church have been attacked by these Islamists. Within the last 24 hours, they were attacked, and Masara and the pastor will be heading in the direction of those individuals to offer, number one, we want to get the story out of what happened, but also to pray with them and offer them whatever support is available that they can offer to them. We were just talking, and folks, if you've watched my show, you know this, but I just as a reminder, I've been to Nigeria. I'm not talking about something that I am wholly disconnected with. I've been there. Bishop Mike Okonkwo, who is the head of the Redeemed Evangelical Mission, and Bishop Peace, his wonderful and beautiful wife. I've been associated with them since 2002 through my dear friends, Drs. Greg and Cindy Romine, who spent years and years and years traveling to Nigeria and ministering all throughout Nigeria. And so I feel a very special connection, and we saw many miracles and signs and wonders happen as we ministered there in Nigeria. And I can just tell you that they are a beautiful people, and I love them dearly, and it breaks my heart to see what's happening here. Masara, is the pastor there? Is he with you? Is he available to?
Yeah, come over, sir.
Okay.
practice come in.
Okay.
Just closer again so they can see you.
Greetings.
All right, so he is Reverend Ezekiel Datchomo. Datchomo is spelled D-A-C-H-O-M-O. He is the chairman of the Regional Church Council of Tolkien, that is the Church of Christ in Nations. And in recent weeks, his members have been attacked and killed. Just about 48 hours ago, a pastor working under him was killed, and his wife and an infant are currently recovering from bullet wounds in a hospital where we would be visiting. And in the last 24 hours, his members were attacked as well, and their crop farms were destroyed. And I think he should be in a better position to speak about that. So please meet Pastor Greg and the rest of the audience.
Welcome, Reverend Datchomo. Thank you so much for being with us, and our sincerest condolences on the losses that you and your flock have experienced. We thank God that we know that this is not our permanent resting place, but that we have the promise of eternity in heaven. And having died four times and taken three trips to heaven, I can assure you heaven is very real. And so we know that is the truth, but that does not take away from the anguish, and certainly doesn't take away from the injustices that are happening.
That's right.
So talk to me about what's taking place there, sir.
The pure truth, undiluted truth of what is happening to us today is just Islamic agenda to take over the country. That is why they brought up Muslim ticket as a party with the All Progressive Party. And if you are not part of them, then you should be ready for persecution.
So their goal is genocide. Their goal is to genocide anyone that will not convert, in essence.
That is absolutely. Their problem is for us to submit, not to submit to their will, to become Islamic. And that's the truth. I myself have passed through a lot of persecution, because even as I'm talking now, I've already taken an oath. It's better for me to die than to live and die.
Yeah, yeah.
The reason is that we in the North, the world didn't know what is happening to the Christians in the North. They have wiped out Christians in villages in the northern part, far northern part, the northwest, the far north, like Maiduguri, Sokoto. They have brutalized us, especially Maiduguri, Ugwaza area. Now they are advancing into our men-dominated Christian area. That is Plateau State.
Okay.
Yes. And they are moving. Yeah.
And people should also understand that they keep moving further south. Am I not correct? I mean, they've had their claws in the north for some years. But now they are working to expand, and they're doing it because the past two presidents, the current one who we believe was put in office by an illegal election, under the eyes of these individuals that are looking but then pretending to turn away, Islam is slaughtering Christians throughout all of Nigeria.
Especially, they are moving, they are now in the central. Because most of the Christians from the far north, they have relocated.
Right.
Their village was vandalized, they have taken over the villages. They are living in our Christian houses. They relocate to dwell there. They walk around from Sambita Forest. Now they have moved. They are now in our midst. How are we, in part of 1 hour, we are moving towards terrain? You see, because of their problem now, what they are passing, their agenda is to make sure that all the Christians are located down south,
if not eliminated.
If they will be eliminated, you can run. If you don't run, they slaughtered. Like I'm just telling you, just last month, what happened in Mangu area in Plateau State? Over 200 Christians. When I say over, I just say over. Me, we are slaughtered like chicken. Some were born alive. In fact, let me tell you something. My best friend in my village in Iriom local government, my best friend we grown up with, they burned down his wife and 5 children. My grandmother that I grew with her, they bought her, they removed her heart. And when they invent our villages, they have only one thing. They'll be chanting, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And when they are chanting, those that will escape from the village, they will escape. Those that will remain in the village, they will remain to die. But the youth are trying to defend themselves, but they don't know how to do it. These people are wealthy people, sophisticated weapons. And you can see raping our wives. There's one situation yesterday I was crying because one of our Christian brothers, they off. Islamic terrorist want to rape his wife. His wife becomes strong and hit him. She ran back, came back home. Then the man came and met the husband. And she told her husband, this is a testimony. She told her husband that this is what this man wants to do to me. Because of fear, it is the woman that was confessing. The husband had to take her back to them. The man slept with his wife before his eyes. He had sex with his wife before his eyes. And even telling in Hausa dialect, Baka Chicago Day, can't you say I thank you? And he has to bring his wife.
That's for raping his wife.
Raping his wife before, so that the man will stay his life with his family. And when the woman came, she came in confession, bleeding in tears, that this is what her husband loved her.
You understand what the pastor is sharing. What he's saying is that these evil people forced this woman to have relations with they passed her around, and her husband was helpless to do anything to stop it, and then sent her back. Attempting that she should be shamed. They raped her repeatedly. And they want to pretend and call themselves this religion of peace to the world. They're not. There's nothing peaceful about this religion. And it bothers me too, Pastor and Masara, when people say, oh, well, they're just radicals. This is what's in their book. This is what their belief, their God, which is not a God, he's a demon, but this is what their demon tells them they're supposed to do. Now, there are individuals that Christ is showing up to in dreams. There are imams who are converting. There are Muslims that are converting. But these are the beliefs, and it's imperative that we understand the evil that is Islam. I believe we must understand it, because I think that the West is ignorant to the truth.
Yeah, ignorant.
You know, Pastor Greg, I will tell you that while sometimes we just try to sugarcoat it to say that those carrying out the attacks and persecutions are just radicalized members of the Islamic faith, or they are just extremists, oftentimes you would not see those that consider themselves to be liberal Muslims condemning the attacks and persecution. Sometimes you even see them celebrating, right? I mean, at about this time last year, in the state of Sokoto, when a Christian student was mobbed, was killed by a mob and burned, and her body burned right within the within her, you know, a campus.
Deborah Emanuel. Deborah Emanuel, right?
Deborah Emanuel. It was not Boko Haram that did that. It was not so-called bandit terrorists that did that. It was not Ansaru that did that. It was not ISIS terrorists that did that. It was regular members, I mean, regular Muslims on the streets, those that we would look at and say, well, these do not have the looks. They don't wear those turbans. They don't carry weapons and attack in Christian communities in the villages. But this time around, they still, you know, made use of what they had.
Right.
They used stones, they used sticks, they used practically anything, knives and even matches, you know, match boxes, you know, to inflict harm on this innocent girl and even burn her right in front of more than 50 policemen. And these are the things that are happening all over.
And it should be noted, she did nothing to instigate other than to suggest in the study group, can we not be proselytizing? We're not here to be forced to be subjected to your belief system. We're here to talk about the textbook and the subject the teacher has given us to study. That's all she said.
That was just it. And let me also add that because I personally interviewed her cousin and best friend, who were also members of that same WhatsApp group. And they told me one of her colleagues, our Muslim colleagues, who was, you know, fond of posting those religious messages, was threatening her with a so-called prophetic message. And she said, What nonsense prophet is this? Nothing will happen to me in Jesus' name. That was what she said. Nothing will happen. But they took that and interpreted it as an attack or an insult against Prophet Muhammad. And in less than 3 hours, they had gathered more than 200 youths, you know, with sticks and everything. She actually started getting beat by her colleagues right in her dormitory from the evening of 11th May 2022, where she was residing and from where she made that comment. Now, some of her colleagues did their best to rescue her and hide her, you know, but by the next morning, they went in and dragged her out of her hiding and brought her right out into the school camp, I mean, the campus premises and attacked her. It was really a painful death, actually, to watch. Her father was right there. He was only watching from the fence, but he was helpless. Her uncle was also there. Policemen were there, 50 of them. They were also members of the Department of State Services.
And they wouldn't do anything. No help.
Yeah. Nobody did anything. And as I speak with you, sir, the only suspects that were arrested, supposedly arrested and charged with bailable offenses, they charged them with, what did they say, public disturbance and I think it was public disturbance and sabotage, something like that. Nothing about murder, nothing about homicide, nothing really criminal, as the case may be. Now, those suspects, despite those flimsy charges that the police and the Sokoto state government brought against them, they are currently free. They were released by the court, discharged, and acquitted in January. I wrote about that in Epoch Times last month.
Masara, let me invite the pastor to come in, because I can see, I know that he Pastor, when you hear this story, many would say, oh, well, this is just an isolated incident. This doesn't happen regularly. This can't be normal. When you hear someone say that, how do you respond?
The only thing that we respond, based on the teachings of the Bible, what are we supposed to do? In the last days, men will be persecuted. Those on the mountains should never come down. And this is exactly what the Bible says, that Jesus spoke in his word, according to Matthew 24, on his last days. Those on the mountain, they will not come down. Now the Fulani terrorists, they have taken over all the healing areas. And the Christians are down on the valley area. And from there, they will come down and spark, build butter, like one of my village. Just the day before, last week, they were wiped out. The first time they wiped out the village, we rebuild houses because we want to claim back our land. With courage, the first bus that went back to the village, they were massacred.
The whole village. The whole village, Pastor. They wiped out the whole village. They killed everyone.
The whole village is only one man that escaped. And now he's in the hospital. And because of what they are moving towards Joel area, Rim area, in Rim side, and the even at Queen, very soon I would like to take the correspondent to that place. You will see the houses that they are born in Queen. They have killed 13 people in one, have burned them alive. But once they are there, they are surrounded, there's no how you can come out. Bullet all over. That my reverend, Reverend Nico Bimus Pam, he was inside. So he just left my house.
Okay.
With his wife into his house. What happened that night? They entered the house.
That's 48 hours ago.
When they entered the house, they follow him to a bedroom. They drag him outside. They finish him with several bullets on his body. After killing him, they went to the children's house, to the rooms. They drag the woman outside. They were about to slaughter the children. Then the woman screamed out. She was beaten. Later, we are going there with the correspondent. You will see the woman, you will see the house, you will see how the Muslims were surrounding the house. You will see them even now. Nothing of them, but they went into the town. Now the clergy is dead now.
And folks, I need you to understand, this is not brand new. Unfortunately, this is not a brand new thing. My dear friend, Reverend Levinas Anumas, who is from Anitsha, Anambra State. Many years ago, when I was there in 2002, we met at the Redeemed Evangelical Mission Conference that Bishop Mike Okonkwo had, and he came and visited me here in the United States and stayed in my home. He had at that point 5 of his churches burned to the ground. He had one. They burned it. They killed his family. He built another church. They burned it. He built another church. They burned it. He built another church. They burned it. 5 times he had built a church, and 5 times the Muslims burned the church to the ground, and twice they murdered his entire family. The first time, and then a number of years later, about 10 years later, again.
Yeah, well, that is actually what is happening over and over again. Reverend Datimo tried to summarize, but I would say, just to begin with the question of whether this is, I mean, the Deborah case is an isolated incident. As I speak with you, a Christian health worker in the northeastern state of Bauchi, is presently under incarceration. She has been in jail since the 20th of May, 2022, just about 8 days after Deborah Emmanuel was killed. Now, what happened was that this woman by the name of Rhoda Yau simply shared a video of a former Ghanaian Muslim who, seeing the videos, the footages from Sokoto of the murder of Deborah, said, "This is not the kind of religion I want to practice. This is not the way of life. And I am changing from this kind of religion that just massacres people." She shared that video in a WhatsApp group created for the members of staff of her department. And the same colleagues took that and reported it to their members of the same community in a county called Warji County, in a town called Katanga, and claimed that she had blasphemed against Prophet Muhammad. And again, in less than 30 minutes, there were more than 300 people surrounding her house seeking to kill everyone, including her, and burn the house. The pastor of the Equa Church, that's Evangelical Church Winning All, in that village, together with some of his members, gathered to appeal to the youths, you know, the Muslims that had gathered, to stand down and allow the authorities to carry out thorough investigation and possibly try her. But they attacked this pastor and his members, burned his church, burned all the Christian houses in the Katanga village in the Warji County of Bauchi State. Bauchi is just about 100 miles from Jos. And that was exactly what happened. Now, instead of the authorities in Bauchi to take action against these criminals, they still went and arrested this woman, a mother of five, and locked her up in the jail in the correctional cell. What's it called now? The Bauchi State Correctional Center in the town of Bauchi, where she has been incarcerated since the 20th. Since the 20th of May 2022, to date, she has not seen the light of day. She has not been released. Her family members are not allowed to visit her.
So there are those that are suggesting, gentlemen, that basically Nigeria has become an Islamic state. That Nigeria is being governed as though it is an Islamic state, and there is no room for anyone else in Nigeria except Islam. How do you see that?
That is just the reality of what is going on. I can tell you that, okay, earlier you talked about the southward movement of terror.
Sure.
Now you remember on the 5th of June 2022, there was a mass terror attack at a church in the state of Ondo.
Yes.
In a town called Owo. Now, that is actually in the southwestern part of Nigeria. It's close to Lagos, which is on the extreme, to the edge of the Atlantic Ocean. Now, what does that tell you? They are already moving. They have almost conquered the central region. They have conquered the entire north. They have conquered more than 80% of the north central. The remnant of the villages, the Christian villages in the central region, are just... you know, they could just be taken over in one night. I just don't know why they have yet to, but they are still doing it anyway, because Christians in the central region do not have, first of all, the population, and then the military power, the weapons to be able to resist them. And moreover, the government itself is backing them. The government is complicit.
Right.
The military is complicit.
Right.
And they are not responding to the cries of Christians.
There's no justice. There's no equal justice. Reverend,
none of the terrorists has been tried. No terrorist has been tried, even when they are arrested with AK-47. I was attacked on the 16th of May, 2023. My team was attacked. I was there when one of the terrorists was arrested. But I can tell you that he is free. He was arrested with his AK-47 rifle, but he is free. There were three motorcycles and one minibus that was recovered from the scene of the attack that were used, you know, for the attack, right, to convert terrorists for the attack. Those vehicles and everything have been returned to them.
We've only got about 10 minutes, and I want to get the pastor in. I want to ask you, Pastor, you were talking about Matthew 24 and the fleeing to the mountain. One of the other parts of Scripture talks about standing our ground and holding until he returns. And here in America, we're facing, you know, Christian persecution as well. Not what you're facing. But I think what we don't understand here is that we can very quickly get to the level that you're at if we don't stop it now. And we need to be helping Christians like yourselves. America, yes, needs to be doing something for Christians around the world. So my question to you is do you feel as though it's also important that Christians literally defend themselves against these attacks?
The truth is that we have reached to a state that we have to defend ourselves so that we will sustain our faith in Christ Jesus. The death of Jesus did not make us to look foolish. We must be wise like a serpent, but harmless like a dove. And we have stand never to cause problems. The Christians are the supplier of peace in this nation, Nigeria. As I'm talking to you now, if you look at this, look at a symbol. This out of is from my Facebook. They will kill every time we're on burying our deaths. Look at the gravesite. Because it was life. If you can go to my Facebook, you have many things that is happening. Like on Monday, we are going. Even as I'm talking to you now, they have gone into all the farm crops that we have done. They have put their cows inside. Their cows, they have eaten our crops. Now the people are helpless. That is the undiluted truth. That if, as we are going with your correspondent, you will see life and death. Right? You will see how the destruction that they are doing. There are many places, like in Mangu, about 12 villages in Hale, where
turn your phone just a little bit more this way. The light is reflecting on it. Turn it the other, like that. That way. Yeah, just like that. Yes, perfect.
Okay. And that is what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah, that's actually himself, Reverend Datimo, praying on a corpse on one of the days of the attack, let me just quickly comment on the need for America to care. Why America should care?
Sure.
Now these terrorists are attacking and taking over communities that are rich in solid minerals in Nigeria.
Okay.
In the whole of the North Plateau State, Kaduna State, Niger, these are communities that are rich in lithium, communities that are rich in tin, columbine, gold, diamonds, and then now they are pushing towards the oil-rich South. Now, right now, they do not have, you know, all the resources. They do not have all of these resources, these minerals, you know, in their control yet, but they have, you know, arsenals, large arsenals, enough to take out entire communities. Now, think about it. What can they do when they have, you know, they get hold of the entire resources in Nigeria? What kind of missile can they not acquire? What kind of warship can they not acquire? What kind of war jet can they not acquire? And remember, just in January, China launched, what they call a game-changer seaport in Lagos. Now, what do you think will happen? I mean, China is at war with America, and if it decides, I mean, historically, China and the communist economy are usually, you know, in the relationship. They always,
right,
they are always allied with, you know, this, you know, Islamic terror.
Absolutely. Now, absolutely.
When they finish, when they succeed in taking over, you know, Nigeria and the resources, it is likely they would be using, you know, in collaboration perhaps with China and the, you know, communist organization, that seaport in Lagos to launch attack on the United States. So yes, we are seeing the possibility of another 9/11 happening.
Absolutely.
So if the ordinary American Christian, or it doesn't matter, but if, even if you're not a Christian, at least you should care about religious freedom. I mean, if you say you do not care, I mean, when they come to America, they are not going to be looking for who is a Christian or who is an atheist. They will be only protecting and sparing Muslims.
Yeah, they don't care. Will be, yeah, COVID. They don't care. So, they will kill you.
What is happening? Yep. It's just 6,000 miles from, you know, from Africa, from Nigeria to the United States. But that distance will be closed up by the time they get hold of all the resources in Nigeria, which is what they are pushing to achieve.
Right. And Nigeria, if I'm not mistaken, Nigeria is like the number six as far as all of the nations of the world with regards to both oil. Yeah, with the oil resources, they're the sixth largest producer of oil in the entire world.
Exactly, and the largest country by population and by economy, you know, by GDP in Africa.
Yeah.
Now you can imagine, you know, what potential they have to take out, you know, and the entire West, I think.
Right.
You know, because when they succeed in taking over Nigeria, they're not going to be stopping here. They are going to be, I mean, the remaining states bordering Nigeria are just going to be, you know, conquered.
Gobbled
in one, you know, I mean, Kenya is just the size of one state. In fact, the economy of Lagos alone is almost twice the economy of Kenya.
Right.
Ghana is just like one state in Nigeria.
No, so I have a friend that's in Eldoret, Kenya, that I've been following for almost 20 years. And actually about, in 2006, we were in conversation. He was having to hide in huts, going from village to village, hiding because they were going and they were burning Christian village after Christian village after Christian village. Absolutely horrendous. Hello, Reverend. How are you?
Reverend. Zoe Las Vegas. Go.
Just a moment.
He's one of He's from America.
Greetings, Reverend. Greetings.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I am well. Greetings from America.
Thank you. Yes, we are specifically your greetings with thanks in Nigeria.
We are praying for you. And our program this morning, we're almost out of time, but our program this morning has been trying to make people aware of how severe and how bad this Islamic assault is on Christians there and why we need to get engaged and get involved. So thank you. We're praying for you, and we love you.
Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your concern. And we trust that the Lord will see us through and take us out of these turbulent times.
Amen.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
We're at the end of our time together. Masara, thank you. Reverend Dachimo, thank you so very much. I so appreciate it. Oh, my goodness. Thank you again. I really appreciate it. Folks,
God bless you. Amen.
And folks, Christian persecution.
You are coming to Plateau to preach the gospel. I'm inviting you.
Okay, we'll make it happen. I'm excited.
To come and see this live and direct.
Hallelujah. I'm excited. We will talk. Praise the Lord. All right. I'll be back. Hour number two coming up. We're going to talk about Father's Day and the importance of dads in the lives of their kids coming up right after this. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Back with more coming up right after this.